Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. At that time, Jesus, having come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, began to ask his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" But they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is believed that this feast of Saints Peter and Paul, and we exclude from this all of the feasts of the liturgical year, the big ones in honor of our Lord and Savior's life. So first we have the Christmas cycle, if you recall, and then the Easter cycle, and which includes Pentecost. And then we have the saints. So we exclude the feasts of those, that part of the liturgical year in which we relive the life of Christ. So it is believed that this feast is the first one that was ever celebrated. It was celebrated right from the beginning, because these two great apostles and martyrs and teachers were so revered in the early church and loved. Right from the time of Christ. Especially, of course, St. Peter, the vicar of Christ. Any priest who is preparing for this day can see right away that it is necessary to follow the example of St. Gregory the Great, who added a feast, we call it the commemoration of St. Paul. We see this as necessary because it's not possible to give these two great saints their due honor and glory, both on this same day. So we have to concentrate on St. Peter. And he was in the early church and until the end of time, he was special. Was no one else like him. First of all, no one ever was given, nor ever will be given, the power that he was given. Keys of the kingdom of heaven. Everything that he bound was bound in heaven and on earth. So nothing else like that. And even though, of course, his successors were given similar power, no one could ever replace St. Peter. He was unique. So we have always said that our Pope is St. Pius X, because he was the last holy Pope that we had. And he was an amazing saint. He was the one who said that the little flowers was the greatest saint in modern times, but we've always wondered if maybe he was the greatest saint in modern times. If you have not read his encyclicals, you are missing out, because they are really and truly inspired. It is like reading scripture when you read the encyclicals of St. Pius X. But he is really not our Pope as much as St. Peter is. No one can replace him. He was not chosen by our divine Savior to be his vicar on earth because of who he was or what he possessed. He was rather created for this position, as our Father Superior has mentioned, has explained to us many times, especially regarding Saint Joseph. Saint Peter was created for this. And then he was modeled by our divine Savior to be a perfect representative of himself. We see this right at the beginning, because at the first meeting of St. Peter and our Lord, basically the first words out of our Lord's mouth were, "You will be called Kephas," which is Peter. So our Lord already had his plan in place before we can say he even knew St. Peter. He had his plan. And so we see that his personality shines forth. It's vivid on almost every page of the Gospels, all the Gospels. Sometimes it seems like the only people present are just Christ and St. Peter. And there are either the other apostles present or a big crowd of people. Many times it seems like just Christ and St. Peter are there. So our Lord and Savior asks a question to all of these people. St. Peter answers. Or he comments on what's happening at the time, St. Peter. Our Lord says something, not a question. He simply makes a remark. St. Peter has something to say about it. And he always says it with his strong Galilean accent. He stood out in a crowd because of his accent. Apparently, it was not something that was very appealing, because even in the Acts of the Apostles, it says, St. Luke says that the Jewish leaders regarded St. Peter and St. John as uneducated and ordinary. That's what they thought of them. But nevertheless, it was being a Galilean that formed St. Peter's character. Because Josephus tells us that Galileans were regarded as very enthusiastic, impetuously determined, and very spirited. And that is a perfect description of St. Peter. We see this when the apostles are in the boat and Christ comes walking on the water. And they're all afraid. And our Lord says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And St. Peter says, "Command that I come to you immediately." And Christ says, "Come." And St. Peter gets up and walks on the water. We see right away what he was like. However, St. Peter was not chosen because of his character, his personality. He was chosen because of his virtues. First of all, of course, his faith. His faith came right from heaven. That's what our divine Savior said. Who can say this? That his faith is from heaven. And Christ said it. These words that we heard in today's gospel are among the most appealing and beautiful and powerful of all scripture regarding the incarnation and the redemption. First of all, they come from, we're talking about St. Peter's words and our Lord and Savior's response. So these words come from the Vicar of Christ. That's important to keep in mind. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." They come from the Vicar of Christ. Secondly, they are confirmed by Christ himself as coming from his Father. So we have these words from Christ's Vicar, from Christ, and from the Father. They're also, they could not be more clear and concise, crystal clear. "You are the Christ, he's the Savior of the world, and he's the Son of God, the only God, the living God." And who could question his sincerity? No one has ever questioned the sincerity of St. Peter, and especially of Christ himself. So these are extremely powerful words for the whole world till the end of time. Witnesses to the truth, the only real truth that matters. Chosen because of his faith, because of his example, because he's a model for all people to follow the inspirations that they are given. Answer the grace that God gives them, especially religious vocations. So it says, and this is in the second time he met the Savior of the world, the second time he saw him, he's called to follow Christ. "Come follow me." And it says in the gospel that he dropped the others also, but he was their leader. It says they dropped everything immediately, never looked back. example for all people, but especially for vocations to the religious life, priestly vocations. Immediate response. If you have ever thought about a vocation, that means God is calling you. That's what that means. If you've thought of a vocation, that's God whispering in your ear. If you have not answered, that was the most gargantuan mistake you've ever made. St. Peter is a perfect exemplar of a sinner and his conversion. And there has never been a better one. We know that St. Paul was maybe the greatest convert ever. That's from one point of view. But look at St. Peter. We see his fall. We see why he fell, because of pride and weakness. And we witness it moment by moment, his sin. And he was trained by Christ himself, by God. That's where he received his spiritual training. How can you have a better example? And then we see him commit the sins. Then says Christ turned and looked at him. And every single time that we read those words, we are moved. Every time we weep, because we feel for St. Peter. The model convert. And we ask our Lord to turn and look at us and give us the graces that he gave St. Peter so that we might weep for the rest of our days for all of our sins. Just as did our saint. The rest of his life he wept. We also see that St. Peter was chosen because of his love. We know that the greatest saint in heaven is the one who loved God the most. Once again, we exclude the Holy Family. Of course, they are on the hypostatic level. But we think that maybe St. Peter was the greatest saint in heaven. We don't know for sure, never will know. But he was asked 3 times by our divine Savior, "Do you love me more than these?" 3 times. Just confirming that St. Peter loved him more than the others. So maybe He's the greatest saint in heaven. And lastly, of his virtues, we mention his loyalty. Now, it's true that he fell, but he was nevertheless one of the most loyal Catholics ever. And he was loyal especially to the Holy Eucharist. That's where his loyalty shone the greatest. Because we have the example in the Gospels where Christ, our Lord, is telling the people, his disciples, quite a crowd, he's telling them about the Holy Eucharist. And he's saying that my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. You will eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you will not have life. And it says that many of the disciples turned and left right then. He couldn't hear this. Dear Christ, his disciples, he turned and left him. And he said to the ones after they had walked away, he said to the ones who were remaining, we don't know how many there were, maybe not very many. And he said, will you leave me also? And again, St. Peter says these magnificent words, probably from heaven again. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So we see what a great exemplar St. Peter is for all of us. This feast in honor of these two great apostles has always been very specially honored by all true Christians from day one. But it wasn't only a feast in their honor. Originally it was for the 12 apostles, but it's always been also a feast in honor of the papacy, the Catholic Church. This has been, we can say par excellence, the Catholic feast in that sense. You know, another one similar is Feast of All Saints. But this one was also for the papacy and the Catholic Church. And it's always been big. Of course, in our days, nothing is sacred anymore, is it? But this feast is still big in heaven. And one of the reasons that it's such an important feast in heaven and should be for all of us is that we are all members of Christ's body, and this is a feast in honor of the body of Christ, the mystical body. And so it's a feast for the saints in heaven and for the souls in purgatory, and all of us. When we reach heaven, this will be our feast. feast of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. His body and his bride, who will be glorious, similar to Christ himself, since we are part of his body. And he has infinite glory in heaven. Today, as we said, this is not honored, because so nothing is really sacred anymore. But we know that they are saints and angels in heaven are still watching over us. It may not seem like it, but even now, and this is why we say the saints in heaven and Saints Peter and Paul and the angels are still watching over us, because we are still with all of the evil. This church is still visible for men of goodwill. Men of goodwill. Those are the words we use, aren't they? Because that's what the angels said from heaven. Those words come from heaven. We don't want to change those words. They're the words of God. And so the church is still visible. Maybe more than ever. You would not believe how many of the people who call for a possible vocation, you would not believe how many are converts, children. This is true. Children who have found the true church and the Mass, the traditional Latin Mass, on their own, with no help from their parents, in many cases with no help from any friends, but just from God and the saints. And they have found the true Mass on their own completely. And we are often reminded of the words of our Father Superior to us many, many years ago, when we were saying something to the effect of the church being invisible because of the loss of faith, whatever. We said something to this effect. And he, in his wisdom, said that from one point of view, we paraphrase, of course, the church is more visible than ever. Because how could a human institution last for over 2,000 years? This has to be the true religion. Nothing can compare. So we just remind you that it may not be only the saints who are helping us, watching over us, but it might be because of your prayers. So don't forget to invoke Saints Peter and Paul, especially during this Mass, but every day, pray to Saints Peter and Paul. We do. We invoke them every day in a special way. And we are thinking that they are the ones who are sending us these vocations and keeping all of us here, faithful, loyal. May God bless you.